It's me, Mr. DRG, the one and only from the AWWIR, all the way to the DSJMP, and several websites in between. Yeah, I do love doing that intro. I get way too excited for this. But how could you not? You are on the alternate route for wrestling alternatives. DRG's Detour, brought to you by the DSJMP.com and the DSJMP Network. Places where you can find wonderful podcasts like The Detour as well as WrestleCast, not to mention Cerebral Satire and a couple of new ones like with Ant's Conversation About Comic Books that I missed out, which really irks me. Damn you, adult responsibilities of having to pay bills. Yeah, well, tonight the boys are recording for the Payback pay-per-view, and I'm recording for The Detour because I'm not going to be able to participate in that, but knowing that the DSJMP.com provides you with such wonderful podcasts, I want to talk about a podcast that I listen to, Talk is Jericho with Billy Corgan. And I also managed to listen to a conference call that Billy Corgan was on as you hear the truck pass by. Remember, you're on the Detour. We hear the road noises because we're on the road with DRG. Now, in this conference call with Billy Corgan, he touched on several comments, and what happens on these conference calls is people for news reporters or dirt sheet writers or whoever calls in and asks questions to said person on the panel. And Billy Corgan was asked several times about the things and implementations that he wants to bring to TNA and touched on development systems and ways to develop TNA talent so that they can have their successful homegrown names, similar to what they had when AJ Styles or James Storm, Bobby Roode, these guys growing up, are cemented and synonymous with TNA. And I liked the fact that he wants to touch and get into that because they used to have it with a place like OVW or some of the things with like the paper appearances they did before. They had working relationship with Ring of Honor at one time, New Japan. So it's interesting to see that Corgan's touching on this. And I'm excited for that because if it's something that they are looking to in the future, there's several ways that they could do it. And I wrote an article about this that you can find at several different places. I'm not sure where they're posted yet, but I usually post on TNAAsylum.com or at the table show for the Spanish Announce Table when Captain Awesome posts them because he loves me, or on Talk TNA Podcast. And in this article, I look at several different things, and we'll touch on that. Hopefully, you'll go read that article because it plays into the Twitter question of the week. But we'll do that to close the show. I want to get straight into it. The topics on the docket because I am excited. I have had a wonderful, wonderful wrestling week. And it wasn't just because of the norm, the NXTs and TNAs and Lucha Undergrounds. It was because I got to watch Evolve 41 and PWG's Don't Sweat the Technique. Both shows were very, very good, solid wrestling. As you hear my email pop in. Yeah, no cuts on this. It's one take. That's how we do it. But while watching Evolve 41 and PWG, I get to experience like hardcore, just straight matches. There's a lot less talking, a lot less segments, and these guys get over based on their actions inside the ring. And that's what I love because that's where I see true talent start to shine, man. And inside PWG's Don't Sweat the Technique, I want to touch on two matches in particular that I absolutely loved. The first being Ricochet versus Andrew Everett. Now, Ricochet is a common name heard on the indies that a lot of you know of, but Andrew Everett's another one that is more of a young up-and-comer that had an injury not too long ago that kept him sidelined. I believe it was an ACL on his left knee that he had to have repaired. But this kid is a high flyer, so to see him back in the PWG ring and looking like he hasn't really lost a step. There were times where he was on the ropes and he didn't seem as confident or was still trying to get his balance back. But the dude is still doing amazing stuff. And his jump up, springboard, shooting star presses are amazing, especially going to the floor. His double rotation moonsault was a lot closer to not hitting, but still very pretty. He still gets an amazing amount of height on his spring off the ropes. And the match with Ricochet was very well done because it showcased both high flyers very, very well. I am impressed by seeing Everett make such a solid return. And if you listen to the AWWR podcast, you'll hear me talk about Everett this week. But the other match that I want to get into is Roderick Strong, who many people know from Ring of Honor fame. He also was in TNA for a little bit of time. He took on a kid from England that is amazing to watch for me. He's featured heavily in Pro Wrestling Noah. And this kid is Zack Sabre Jr. He is amazing to watch. Anybody that appreciates like the technical prowess of somebody like a Regal or was a big fan of like the chain wrestling that used to go on in the Kurt Angle versus Lesnar or Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit matches. And I know we're not supposed to say Benoit, but anyways, if you're a fan of that type of chain wrestling, this kid is amazing to watch transition from move to move. And Roddy is very well competent and known for his abilities to do so as well. So to see these two go at it in a main event match for the PWG Championship that went all of 25 to 30 minutes, it was a barn burner. Really good match. Very impressed. And there are several other matches on the card that were really well done. The Beaver Boys took on Candice and Joey, the world's cutest tag team. As you hear the road noises once again. And we saw Chris Hero take on Tommy End in a really good slobber knocker as well. There were several matches on this card that were very impressive, but those two are the ones that I wanted to specifically touch on. So let's move forward on the docket and start looking at Lucha Underground. Now, Dario Cueto introduced the seven medallions that lead to a power source comparable to Matanza. Had this been on Impact, I'd have rolled my eyes and said, what the fuck? But it's Lucha Underground, baby. Suspension of disbelief is what this is all about, and I loved it. Phoenix winning that match to take his medallion, only to go into the locker room where Katrina approached him, and then see three skeletal figures, or skeleton mask, on top of a locker room locker makes you go, what? But it was very well done. When you can suspend your disbelief, man, this program will hook you in. The same way that it hooked me in whenever Johnny Mundo came out and proceeded to throw freaking Alberto Del Rio through plate glass into Dario's office. And what was the best part about this classic Dario Cueto? I love him. Such a great heel figure. When Alberto goes through his window, he turns and looks in kind of a shock state and then stands up. And instead of going to check on Alberto or scream and yell at somebody, he walks over and makes himself a drink. And then walks over to Dario, to Alberto, and looks. And nods at the crowd, nods at the ring, and just smiles. Oh, Dario, you are such a great addition to Lucha Underground. For being a guy that I never knew to be involved in wrestling, he plays that role perfectly. Kudos. Kudos. It was a entertaining segment that had me laughing and had me concerned for Del Rio because going through that glass looked vicious, and then had me wondering about why Johnny did it, which I understand considering that Dario beat him and he is the face of Lucha Underground. But flipping him heel with such a heavy heel roster right now wasn't what I was expecting. So to see where they're going next will be interesting, to say the least, especially with these seven medallions. I mean, Phoenix having the one makes sense. Sexy Star was who I expected to get it, but it didn't work out that way. I could see her getting one down the road. Pentagon Jr. was another one that I expected. But I'm curious as to who will wind up with these gold medallions in the end, and to see if they are the ones that are chosen to face Matanza when he goes on a killing spree after he's finally released. All right. Turning down the main road that leads home, let's move into my favorite segment because I'm the TNA fanboy. I want to talk about the Best of Five series And I heard a lot of people say that the match finish was too quick. But in all honesty, the match was really good, really solid, a great first outing of the series. And to see it end the way that it did makes sense to me because it built some suspension for as to how these next few matches go. You're not really going to know when and where the pins are coming from. It elevates it in my mind, which makes me happy. It makes me want to see these next ones. And the match quality we knew was going to be stellar when you put the Wolves against Dirty Heels. But the way that they finish it leaves you a little bit hungrier for that next outing between the two. I hope it goes the distance. I want to see all five matches. No cutoffs. Just let these teams go. Hopefully it'll conclude at Slammiversary because that would be a major, major place to host that fifth and final match. Now, I also want to touch on the bromance of all things. There are several other places I could go, but Jesse Godders is a homegrown TNA talent that I have seen a lot of potential in over the course of his young career, is the best way to say it. And I heard a lot of people complaining that it buried him to take three pinfalls from a guy who's been in TNA for 5 years, much longer than Jesse Godders has, let alone in the business for 15 years, much longer than Godders has been in the business. But I don't think that that's accurate. I think that the veteran, the wily veteran of Robbie E, getting those pinfalls makes sense due to the inexperience of Jesse Godders, which is what was frustrating him. That's why he was using the excuses, oh, I wasn't ready. Or, oh, my trunks weren't tied, which was a clever bit. I have to admit, I laughed at that one. And then to see Jesse finally get frustrated to the point where he just snaps and bitch slapped Robbie with that microphone. Man, that was a hell of a shot. And then proceeded to gorilla press slam him over the top rope to the floor. It was a good way to show a vicious and brutal side of Jesse Godders. That if that's who they're choosing to be the heel, see, I thought he was going to be the face coming out of this, but if they're choosing to make him the heel and give Robbie some sympathy, they did a good job in this because he beat the shit out of him. Very well done, very good segment, and for all the seeds that they planted leading up to this, the start of this payoff of the split between the two, the start of it has a lot of momentum for me. Maybe not everybody else out there will agree, but to me, I really enjoyed it. And I hope to see that it turns into a good thing. Include DJ Z into it, into the fold. Have him going, what the hell, Jesse? Why'd you do that? And then Jesse just blast him as well. Have Jesse go crazy on anybody that was associated with the bromance until Robbie E is better and can make his way back. I'm like I said, I'm interested. And that's something that not many people can say about the bromance, except for Ant. Ant loves the bromance. Ah, guys. Hear that music, that hip-hop in the background. It's not the rest of the stuff. It's the hip-hop by Dead Prez, and you know what that means. It's time to start wrapping up the detour because we are getting close to our destination, to the house. Now, hopefully before you've gotten to this part, you've paused and read my article on Billy Corgan. If it's out, if it's posted, I don't know. Depends on when Vamp posts this versus when they post the articles. But if it's out, you've read my ideas and my thoughts as to the directions they could take a developmental system for TNA. And so I want to pose this question on the Twitters, at MRDRG_WIR. I want you to vote on the fact if they are to go with a developmental. How should TNA approach it? Should they use a pay-per-appearance type of system the way that they were doing before with bringing in some of these talents and using them for a few times, seeing if they work, and then signing them? Should they partner? Oh, I'm sorry. That's A. Option A, use the pay-per-appearance. Option B, should they partner with an indie fed? Someone like a House of Hardcore, which could be tricky seeing as how they got that Fight Network deal. Or someone like a Evolve or someone like Omega with the Hardys connection. Or should they build their own developmental program? Kind of like what WWE did with NXT, starting their own thing. And they can use whatever choice they want and make that direction to be solely focused on developing TNA talent for the show. Have those matches and those promotions featured on the YouTube channel or on Impact. If they want to bring it to Destination America, use it there. But that footage is 100% owned by TNA. So that's also an option that you can go with and see. Or you can do the proverbial option V and vamp it up and just say, I don't care. Once again, get at me on Twitter, at MRDRG. Let me know what your vote is. Hope that your wrestling week has been great. Hope that you enjoy Payback tonight, if that's what you're going to be watching. This has been DRG, the one and only, representing the DSJMP Network. And I'm hoping to catch you down the road. Gone. Yeah, it's big.